For the next number of weeks, we're going to walk through a series of sermons, series of messages called God Is. God is, fill in the blank. And many of us might fill in the blank in many different ways. When we posted this graphic on Facebook this week, on the church Facebook page, instantly people began to fill in the blank with who God is to them and who God has been to them. And I want to do more in these days than simply talk about who God is. I'm praying that in these days we'll have an actual encounter with who God is. I'm praying that we'll do more than talk about these things. I'm praying that we'll do more than sing about these things. I'm praying that we'll do more than learn about these things. But we will have an encounter with who God is. And we're going to be looking at a number of scenes from the book of Isaiah where Isaiah encounters God, where Isaiah has an encounter with the living God. Now, you need to know, friends, you need an encounter with God. You do. I do. And you might think, well, listen, I'm not really a likely candidate for an encounter with God, but I want you to know that you are a candidate for an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God. I fear, friends, that we have made God safe. I fear that we've tried to squeeze him into our mold. I fear that we've tried to kind of neatly package him, that we've made in our own image that somehow likes everything we like and dislikes everything we dislike, that loves the people we love and hates the people that we hate. And when I read about the God in the Bible, I realize you can't reduce God. You can't try to package God. If you try to put God in a box, he will explode the box. You can't shrink God down. In fact, one author says it this way: to encounter God is to watch him explode any box that we put him in with his terror and with his majesty and with indescribable wonder. You put God in a box and he's going to blow the box up. You put God in a box and he's going to blow the sides out of that thing. We need an encounter with God. And you say, listen, Chad, listen. It's still winter, and I get it. I get it. March, like what Lisa said, I know. It's probably going to be snowing in June. I get it, okay? I've lived here now 3 years. I get it. You say, I live in Hayward. We don't have encounters with God in Hayward. To which I would say, why not? Why not? Because there is a holy God who wants to have an encounter with you. There is a holy God that wants to have an encounter, not just with you, but with every man or woman that's out on the Berkey Trail right now, and they are exercising, and they are thinking, why am I doing this in the middle of a snowstorm? God wants to have an encounter with them. Right now, there's a guy, and he's sitting at the bar down here, at the Moccasin Bar, and he's already on his third beer, and it's 11 in the morning. God wants to have an encounter with him. Right now, there's a lady who woke up this morning, and there's a baby who's crying in the other room. And the baby desperately needs the mom to come, and the mom is weary and worn and tired. God wants to have an encounter with her. Right now, there's someone in a nursing home in our town. And they just woke up. Like, well, maybe they didn't wake up. They're in the nursing home. They probably passed meds at 6 a.m. They woke up at 6 a.m. They woke up from their morning nap. How about that? And they came by, and God wants to have an encounter with them. And God wants to have an encounter with you. And friends, we need an encounter with God. Now, today, you could fill in this blank, God is, with this word: God is holy. Holy. God is holy. And it begs the question, how do you respond when you have an encounter with a holy God? What do you say? when you have an encounter with a God that is holy. Well, it occurred to me this week that what we say is often determined by who we say it to. You know that's true, right? What you say is often determined by who you're actually talking to. I watched a video this week, a little boy, and he was doing his homework with his father that captured this principle really, really, really well. It's about 15 seconds long. Let's watch it together. I pray it brings you as much
Jaden
joy as it did
has $1
me.
Bill, one quarter, and two pennies. How much money does he have? Jaden broke.
Okay, some of you missed it the first time around. Sorry, I've worked hard this week on this sermon. Some of you missed it, so we're going to watch it again. I want that kid's laugh as my ringtone when Julie calls me, by the way. So we're going to watch it again. Ready? Ready? Go. Here we go again.
Jaden has $1 bill, one quarter, and two pennies. How much money does he have? Jaden broke.
So what you have there is a boy who's totally at peace in the presence of his father. Completely safe, completely secure in the presence of his dad. Because what we say is often determined by who we say it to. Now imagine that today we leave here and we go to the family restaurant. And imagine that we all go to lunch and we're eating our lunch and we see a limousine pull up, and out of the limousine comes this man, the president of the United States of America. Now here's the deal. Nobody's going to high-five the president of the United States of America because he's the president. Nobody approaches the president and says, "Hey, Joe, buddy, come on in." That's not what you do because he's the president. Because what we say is often determined by who we say it to. And today we look at a scene that gives us a picture of what we say and what our posture needs to be when we have an encounter with a holy God. God is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, it's in your Bible too, but it'll be on the screen. Isaiah chapter 6 says this: in the year that King Uzziah died, let's say these words together, I saw the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. We'll talk about these beings in a moment, these angelic beings. Each had six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another. Let's say these words together. This is the song of heaven today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's sing it like we're closer to heaven than we are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. Can you smell the smoke this morning? Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and my people are a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin," this is a beautiful word, "is atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me. Let's say that last little bit together. I said what? Here am I. Send me. Three things happen in this encounter that need to happen in our lives. These are things that always happen when someone in Scripture has an encounter with God. And these are really simple points this morning. Here's the first thing. Isaiah is stunned. He is stunned. The year is 739 BC. Isaiah is sitting at his kitchen table. He's reading the newspaper, and in the newspaper on the front, it says a headline, King Uzziah has died. Big, bold letters. The king is dead. And Isaiah reads about Uzziah. I got to keep these names straight. Isaiah reads about Uzziah, and he reads this, and he thinks to himself all of the memories of this king. 52 years that King Uzziah had ruled. 52 years that the king had sat on the throne. 52 years this great politician ruled and reigned, and he brought reform and a kind of godliness to the people. And I can imagine Isaiah reading the news story and turning to his family and saying, I wonder what happens now. I wonder what happens now. And it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord. It was in a year of uncertainty, in a year of confusion, in a year where the people are wondering, what happens to us now? What does the future look like? In a year like that, Isaiah saw the Lord. The word Lord is Adonai. It means God is sovereign. Like a grand umbrella over everything in the world. He is the Lord. And Isaiah saw the Lord. And Isaiah saw the Lord. He didn't see the Lord at sea level. He didn't see the Lord down here. It says he saw the Lord high and exalted. High and exalted. He was above everything else on a throne. He saw the Lord high and exalted, and he saw the Lord, and this is the picture. I love this picture. The Lord is high and exalted, and he's not standing up barking out commands. He's seated on a throne, high and exalted. My professor back in school said, God is ruling the world with his feet up. That's what he's doing. High and exalted. And it says that the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah sees this scene. Here is God, Adonai, over all. He sees this scene high and exalted. And Isaiah is in this moment, and he sees God, this moment of loss and confusion. He sees God. God is seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Have you ever been to the wedding? You were talking about planning a wedding this morning. Have you ever been to the wedding and seen the bride when she walks in the room and the bride is here and her train of her dress is still coming in the door? Have you ever seen that wedding? I've seen that wedding. I saw the wedding once where the bride came in and some guy, some weird uncle, every family's got one, reached out and put his foot on the train of the bride's dress as she walked by. The bride was not amused. God is on a throne, and the train of his robe fills the room. Fills the room. The train of his robe fills the temple. In other words, it's a picture of splendor and majesty and the holiness of God. And above him are these seraphim, these angelic beings. And they have six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. It sounds like the kind of thing you encounter in the woods on a dark, muggy night. There were these six-winged seraphim, and they were flying. And they were talking to each other. They were talking to one another, and here's what they said: Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his, here's the word, glory. Here's the word. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah sees this. And how does he respond? How does he react when the doorposts of the room that he's in are shaking? How does he react when the thresholds are moving? How does he react when the room fills with smoke? How does he react and respond when he sees these seraphim and they're flying and they're singing? How does he respond? How he responds, he's stunned. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah sees this scene in the year that King Uzziah died. He sees God high and lifted up, and here's his posture. He's just stunned. "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man. I'm a prophet of God. I speak on behalf of God. And I am a man of unclean lips. And all my people, they are a people of unclean lips." And Isaiah is stunned in the presence of a holy God. Listen, friends, if you had an encounter with God today, I've said this before. We'll say, "Well, God, I got some questions when I get to heaven." You want to know your first response when you get to heaven? Say, "Woe is me. Woe is me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Isaiah was more than impressed. He was stopped dead in his tracks. Isaiah was more than like, "Oh, this is nice." He was bowed down. He was amazed. He was speechless. He was stunned. The Bible says he was undone. "Woe is me, I am undone." Literally, it means I'm coming apart at the seams. My grandmother, she used to have a seam ripper. That's what she had, this little tool, and she would take it and she could rip the seam. That's what's happening in Isaiah's life, is he's coming apart at the seams. One translation says, "I'm doomed." Isaiah sees this holy God. He says, "God, I'm just doomed. I am undone, because what you say depends a whole lot on who you say it to." And Isaiah is stunned. See, here he is, a prophet of God. Here he is, a prophet of God. And even a prophet of God, when he comes into the presence of a holy God, falls flat on their face and realizes how spiritually bankrupt they really are. Max Lucado says, "You don't impress the officials at NASA with a paper airplane. You don't boast about your crayon sketches if you're in the presence of Picasso. You don't claim equality with Einstein because you can write the letters and the numbers H2O. And you don't boast about your goodness in the presence of the perfect." He comes before God and he says, "I am undone." And there's other people in the Bible too. When they encountered a holy God, they did the same thing. Job says, "I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." John says, "When I saw God in the book of Revelation, when I saw this revelation of who God is," he says, "I fell on my face as though I was dead." Isaiah sees God. And he says, "Woe is me. I am undone. And I am a man of unclean lips. And I see, I live among a people of unclean lips." He saw the people around him in a different way. Isaiah is stunned, and I got to hurry. Isaiah number two, though, is seared. I didn't know another word that started with S. That's probably not the... If you try to have everything start with S, at some point it breaks down. But he's seared. Isaiah is seared. It says that one of these seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth. Picture the scene. The seraphim goes over to the altar and pulls a coal out of the fire and brings it to Isaiah, and he touches Isaiah's lips. And then he says, "This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Listen, friends, whenever an angel shows up in Scripture, it is not a picture of some pudgy little three-year-old kid with a Cupid arrow. Like, that's not the angel that we see in Scripture. Whenever an angel shows up in Scripture, it's usually accompanied by great fear and a direction, "Don't be afraid." And here's this scene, this seraphim. And this looks like something you don't want to encounter in the dark. This seraphim picks up a coal and sears Isaiah's lips. The coal off the altar would have been the altar of sacrifice in the outer court. It would have been the altar where sacrifices were killed to atone for sin. And this seraphim comes to Isaiah and touches his lips. This, it would have been from the place where the priests would kill the animals to pay for the sins of the people. And imagine Isaiah. Imagine Isaiah on his knees. Imagine Isaiah on his knees, and he looks up, and here's this seraphim coming his way with a live coal in his hands. Now, let me just tell you this, friends. If we're ever cooking out at your house, and you walk over to the barbecue with some tongs, and you grab a coal that's burning orange, and you come walking toward me, and you have six wings, and you're flying, and there's holy, 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 and the room is filled with smoke, and you're approaching me with tongs and a live coal, here's what's going through my head. I am finished. I am done. I'm finding a different barbecue. That's what I'm thinking. I can imagine Isaiah thinking that this angel was coming to finish him off. But he wasn't. He was coming to purify him. He was coming to see his sins atoned for. The very flame, one author says, that he thinks is going to destroy him is the flame that refines all of the wrong out of him and will bring him into a fresh relationship and encounter with God. Can you imagine this, friends? Can you imagine lying lips being forgiven? Can you imagine, friends, lustful attitudes being forgiven? Can you imagine self-centered thoughts being forgiven? That's what God wants to do to us, for us, through the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is seared. And then here's the last one. The angelic being comes and touches his lips, and his sins are forgiven and atoned for. And then Isaiah is sent. He's sent. Verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord. It's the first time that we see God speaking in this scene. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said this, God, high on the throne, exalted, said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I can picture Isaiah on his knees, and he hears this, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I can picture Isaiah raising his hand and saying, here am I. Send me. Send me. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah volunteers. It's impossible, friends, to have a genuine encounter with God where you're not sent back out in the end. It's like a spiritual cyclone, one writer says. It's like we're drawn into an encounter with God, and then we're sent on a mission for him. See, all worship begins and ends in mission, or it's not true worship. And so Isaiah could have just said, I'm going to hang out here for a while. There's something powerful about this moment. There's something powerful about this scene. But instead, God sends Isaiah out, and Isaiah says, "Here am I, God, send me. Send me." Now notice, Isaiah didn't say, "Okay, God, I know you're looking for volunteers right now, but God, can we negotiate a deal?" He didn't say, "God, where do you want me to go?" He didn't say, "God, what's the salary?" He didn't say, "What are the benefits?" He said, "God, here am I. Send me." Before we moved here to Michigan, or to Wisconsin 3 years ago, we attended church like everybody else. I wasn't a pastor for those years. Here's what would happen. We would go to church, White River Christian Church. I would sit there in church on a Sunday morning, and my pastor, Tim Brock, would stand up, and he would preach. And he was a wonderful Bible preacher. And Tim would preach, and I would sit there sometimes, and I would think to myself, "God, here am I. Send Tim. He's getting paid for this, God. Send Tim." That's what I would think. Or my friend Phil Heller, he was one of the pastors at the church, he would stand up on the platform, and I would sit there and I would think, "God, here am I." They would talk about some need in the world, something that, some way that the church might respond, and I would think, "Well, God, it's really good. Here am I. Send Phil." And I would look around, people sitting next to me, and I would think, there's a lot of people in this church, they've been here way longer than me. Send them. Listen, friends, Isaiah's posture in this moment was not any of that. It was send me. Isaiah offered a blank check to God, the same blank check that all of us need to offer to God, and say, "God, send me. Send me." Because Isaiah saw his people in a different light, and you have a people too. And Isaiah said, "God, send me to these people. Send me to these people who need a touch from you, who need to know you. Send me." I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would. I want to ask you three questions and then we'll be done today. First question I want to ask you is this, is have you seen this God that we're talking about today? I'm not asking if you've heard about him. I'm not asking if you've read about him. Have you seen him? And I'm wondering today if you've ever felt this desperate need for a touch from God with the kind of grace that Isaiah needed, the "I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." I wonder if you've ever felt that desperate before God. And I wonder if you've heard the voice of God speak, saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I wonder how you've responded to that. Summer before my senior year of high school, I'm sitting on the back row at an old camp meeting in Fairmount, Indiana, and I'm negotiating with God. I reached a point in that negotiation where I walked down an aisle, a long aisle in this dusty old tabernacle, and I knelt at an altar and I just said, "God, I don't know what this even means, but whatever you want, God, I want it. And whatever you don't want, God, I don't want it." It was my send me moment. Every once in a while at this church that we were part of in Indiana, Pastor Tim would close the service by doing what we're going to do this morning. He would invite us just to kneel right where we are. in the presence of a holy God. And if you're able to do this, I invite you to do this today. When we come before God, we don't strut, we bow. And the band's going to sing a song, but I wonder if in this moment we might all together and say together, God, we want to see you for who you really are. And God, we need a touch from you. Good grief, we need a touch from God in these days. And God, will you send us out? So I'd invite you just right where you are, just to kneel right where you are. And then the band's going to sing a song. And I'm going to come back up and pray, and you'll be dismissed. And for this, let's make this a holy place this morning. Let's sing.
holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Let's all stand together. Somebody near you might need a hand helping you up. If so, reach out and grab a hand. Jesus, today we quiet ourselves before you. We confess, God, that we are people of unclean lips. We live among a people of unclean lips. We confess that we need your help. We need our sins atoned for through the person of Jesus Christ. We need a fresh touch from God. We need to hear your voice. And we don't just need it, God. Our world needs it. Our community needs it. And so, God, we together just say, God, here we are. Send us. If you can use anybody, God, you can use us. And so, God, use us, I pray, for your glory, for your good. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I trust you have a really, really good day, everybody. And I look forward to seeing you soon. Drive safe as you go home. We'll see you soon.